Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hammer of Sparks Pod. I'm very excited for today's episode. I mean, I love them all. They're like my children. But this one's really special. Because this one is with the guy I've been watching for a while. A guy who has a real deep connection to Hamilton. That's Miles Green. He's been a star for Hamilton Elite United development team for Forge FC. He's been drafted by Forge itself and spent a season here with us, and has a championship medal to prove it. And also, he was a star player on McMaster University's OUA championship team. That's really quite the connection to the city. So I wanted to find out, why Hamilton? Why did he make such big, deep roots here, soccer-wise? Also, we got to talk a little bit about what it's like to be an up-and-coming player, and what he'd like to see recognition-wise for young and up-and-coming players in Canada. We get to see a behind-the-scenes look at the glamour of the CPL draft. And also, we talk about the ever-present specter in soccer of injury and what it takes, mindset-wise, to get over one or play through it. And that's not all. How do you go from being the man at a team to being just another guy? What kind of mindset does it take? What does it say about your character? And finally, I get to break my first ever scoop as a journalist. Well, I guess, pseudo-journalist? As we find out what's next in the career of Miles Green. Thanks for coming along. I hope you enjoyed this one nearly as much as I did.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hamro Sparks Pod. Thanks for joining us today. And today we have someone really exciting joining us as well. I'll let him introduce himself. Tell us who you are.
I'm Miles Green. I spent last year with Forge. I was the ninth overall pick in the CPL U Sports draft last year, and I'm excited to be on here today just chat about things with Kevin and stuff. And I've known him for the last year, and he's been really friendly to me. So he asked me a while ago to come on, and finally got it to happen. So I'm excited.
All right, let's dive in. And I am really excited about this too. And I think it's such a perfect mix too, because the CPL is perfect for creating these stories, especially local stories and feel-good stories. And you're definitely one of them in my book. So your university days were at McMaster. You made a local success story. So tell me a little bit of, well, actually, we'll get to McMaster, but tell me, how did soccer become your love? What was it that brought you over to the game?
It started when I was very young. I think I was 3 years old when I first started playing, just like in a local like recreational league just around the corner from my house. And my dad was my coach for a lot of years when I was a kid. But a lot of it comes from my family. So my dad's father is from Birmingham in England. Okay. And he played growing up, and he played for some of the clubs around there. And he even got recruited to play with, I think it was West Bromwich Albion's academy team. He was with the reserve team, I don't think he ever got a first team appearance, but he was like with the first team a little bit here and there and stuff. And so he's a big football fan. And so he played since he was young, and then he moved to Canada and stuff. He's a Villa fan. So my whole family, like most of us, are Aston Villa fans, which I think is people usually find unique, and they ask the story why. So my grandfather loved it. And then so my dad grew up in a household which loved football and stuff. And then he kind of just passed that on to me. And I mean, I played pretty much every sport there is growing up, but I love sports in general. I love everything. I was always a kid who kind of played everything instead of just played one sport. And I did that for as long as I possibly could. But there was always kind of a number one sport, and it was soccer or football, whatever you want to call it. And so I played that growing up, and it was just kind of instilled from when I was a kid. My dad and my family and my older cousins played, and so
this is a big family affair, soccer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah,
that's amazing. And so then how did it work out for you to end up going to, because I'm sure you played a lot of different teams, but you decided to go to university and you end up going to McMaster? Why did you choose Mac? Was soccer a big part of it, or was more the academic side?
It was definitely both. I mean, I grew up playing for a lot of teams, a lot of rep teams, and a bit of academy stuff. And Everybody always talked about going to the States to Division One and stuff, and I was interested in that as well. But it was really far from me when I was younger, and when I was in high school, when I was looking into it, and a lot of getting the right scholarship and stuff to the States is about who you know or what club you're with. And I wasn't always with the best clubs for the connections for the States and stuff. But I looked into it, and I mean, there were some teams interested in me and stuff. But I talked with my parents, and it was kind of like, do I want to go to a small school that's Division One just to say I did it? Or would I want to go to a good school in Canada and play for a good team here? So my dad was a professor at York for film, and my mom's a school teacher. So academics was always very important growing up, and even through high school and university. So when I was making my decision of where I wanted to go, came down to a few schools in Canada, and my parents grew up just outside of Hamilton. I got like most of my family lives in and around Hamilton, so I kind of had an affinity to McMaster. My older sister was there, and the coach seemed to believe in me, which was huge. I always wanted a coach to believe in me, and so it kind of made sense for program and school. I didn't want to just join like York or one of the powerhouses at the time and like just kind of join a winning team already. I wanted to join a competitive team, but not the one that was like always the favorite, because I like being the underdog. And I chose Mac for school and soccer, and I had goals going into it that I wanted to achieve by the end of it.
So talk to me a little bit about that, because for us as fans, like as the game is growing in Hamilton, we're starting to see more and more, whether it's, you know, academy teams, obviously Forge, the big heavyweight, but McMaster goes on and makes, you know, wins OUA and then ends up going on to like getting to play U Sports National Championship playoffs. Like, that's huge. Talk to me about that and that run.
Yeah, so like that was kind of my goal going into university. I came in going into first year, and like I think York was one of the other teams I was really considering going to school as well. And then they had just won like back-to-back OUAs, or like three of the last four or something. And I was like, I could go there and just join the winning team and probably win a few championships, but it won't be as fulfilling. I wanted to go to a school that hadn't won in a while but was still competitive and try and bring a championship back to that school and beat the big teams that were like the favorites and stuff. So that was kind of a goal when I got into first year and stuff. And yeah, I think it kind of was, it's a weird, like the whole Mac dynamic was weird. Like we had my coach is Dino Perry, who recruited me, and I had him coach me my first three seasons.
Right.
And he was a great coach, great, great guy and everything, but we didn't like see completely eye to eye here and there. I mean, I was he was hard on me, but like out of love, and it took me a while to like push through that, I guess. But he was fantastic, and then the school let him go after my third season, which was a surprise to everyone. And then we had a interim coach for a year, Chris Marcoux, who very lovely guy as well, and we had a lot of graduating players. So I had been there for three seasons, and we'd always had a really good team on paper, but we'd never been able to put it together in the playoffs and everything. Right. And I played a little bit of a role my first year. I didn't really in my second. I battled injuries and stuff. And then my third season, I was a starter, but we didn't get past. We got Carleton in the first round, and they beat us, and they went on to lose on penalties in the national championship, but they should have won.
Right.
And so we got unlucky and stuff. And then going into my last season, a lot of guys had graduated. A lot of guys had moved on in our team and in the league. And we kind of had a fresh new start. And I was looking forward to that, to kind of have a bit of a bigger role. And I had just had a really good season in League One. So I was coming off a good League One season. And our team was young, and we had a mix of guys from all over the place. And guys, everybody basically had to step up and play a bigger role. And we just kind of, I think it's safe to say we weren't the best team on paper, and we might not have even played the most attractive football, but we play with a lot of heart and a lot of camaraderie, and we were able to kind of go on a miracle run, a lot of people said, and I won a championship, and it was like one of the proudest moments, because I was super proud to do that and bring a championship to Mac and everything. And then
And that's great. You did something for the local team that you've kind of grown up like all around all this time. Mm-hmm. So that's like amazing. But it's a big deal for the city. And actually, I talked to Noah Jensen on the last podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking about when he went away to school, he learned like it was more than just yourself. It's about leaving a legacy and building a legacy. And here you are, like you brought something local to this, like making Hamilton a soccer city. We've got Forge. Now we've got a university team that did that in the OUAs. It's kind of huge. Do you feel that way about your legacy at Mac?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's weird to like talk about legacy. The thing is, like, I always, like going into it, I wanted to leave a mark on my program, and I wanted to leave a mark like on the soccer program, and that when I left, that like it would be a big deal that I left. It was always what I was hoping.
Right.
And I think that like I think I finally achieved that by my last year, by, you know, finally getting an all-star, which I thought I deserved, and I thought I deserved more than that, but there's some other, like, obviously it's in that, but that championship was huge. That was the most important thing. I didn't really care about the individual accolades. I was more interested in the championship. And I think that like bringing that there, I will forever be the team that won. And it'd be the first, I think we're the first team in over a decade and everything for Mac. And that was huge. And so yeah, it is about legacy. And I think that that's something I wanted to do something that I would be remembered by. And I remember after my first two seasons or whatever, even my third season, I was like, I haven't done enough yet to, for really people to be like, oh yeah, Miles was so good and we're going to miss Miles, or Miles was such a great player back in the day and stuff. And I felt like I needed to do more to kind of cement some sort of imprint on the program at Mac. And I think winning the championship did that, which was nice.
Yeah.
I'm really frustrated though, because a fun fact about the, and not really a fun fact, but a fact about thing was, in the championship game, in the OUA final, about 20 minutes in, I got hurt, and I like I hurt my ankle. I sprained my tip post. I thought I tore my Achilles. Like I turned, I pushed off, and then I just felt nothing in my ankle. I just like, it just gave out, and it was just pain. But I was luckily it wasn't that, and I played the rest. I got it taped. I took some pills. I played the rest of the game, but I couldn't move very well. And thank God we were able to pull out a victory. And then I was on crutches for like 2 or 3 days. And we won on the Saturday. And our first game of Nationals was on the Thursday or the Friday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Sunday, I think we traveled on the Monday, like all the way through travel, all the way through the airports. And then the first day or so we were in BC for Nationals, I was on crutches still. Like I wouldn't even, I couldn't do anything. And I trained the day before we played for 20 minutes or whatever.
Right.
Like a bunch of tape my ankle, couldn't move very well. But I was like, we're going to make it work. And I played our Nationals game I put a little bit of tape on my ankle. I took some painkillers. I don't even know what they were. I don't know how to say that.
Whatever it takes to get it better.
The staff at Mac were fantastic, and they were just like, "Give me some painkillers." And I was like, "Okay." Took those, and I played. And I mean, you can go back and watch the footage and stuff. Like, I'm not moving very well. I was hobbling around a bit, but to be able to play in that game was fantastic. The thing that bothers me is we lost on penalties, which hurts so much. And I always am gonna wonder, you know, if I never got hurt, what would have been different? When we played like the consolation games after that, and I didn't play the rest of the weekend because I couldn't walk much after that game. But
that was Thompson Rivers that you played, right? And they're the team that went on to the finals, right?
They won every game.
And won it all. Like they're a team of destiny. What could you do? But yeah, to not be at your best, that's got to be one of the hardest things in sports. Actually, talking to everybody that I've interviewed, that's the hardest thing is injury, being able to deal with it and play through it, but also trying to recover from it in time to be able to make your mark. That's a really hard thing, the mindset that you need to kind of push through those things.
And I was trying, it was the same thing, because it was, we finished it like November, mid-November or whatever. And then I got drafted in like mid-December that year. And I think when I originally was done, they were like, this is going to take 12 weeks for you to heal.
Right.
You need to take like at least 2 months off or whatever. And then I remember like once I got drafted, I was like, preseason's going to start. And like,
yeah, I got to be there.
So I was trying to rehab. I was trying to get back in shape, because I took about a month or 6 weeks off right after the season, because they told me like, get off your ankle.
Right.
We're gonna rehab it, but you can't do anything on it. And then we got like, when I got drafted, I was like, it's going to start soon. And I remember working with the physios at Mac, and they're like, we got to try and build slowly, but you might just have to push it. And like, right. I the worst part about it is I was not 100% going into preseason with Forge as well, which was really unfortunate. So I saw an ankle injury and stuff, which kind of hindered things a little bit, but I don't know. It worked out okay, I guess, in the end, but I worked through it and I did fine with it. But that was another annoying thing too. Is if you talk about that, like trying to heal and trying to, you know, build up fitness and everything at the same time is really difficult to kind of, cause you have, and it goes like fluctuates. It's up and down. I had some setbacks. Yeah.
Oh, and then especially when you're trying to do all of that and impress the coaches at your new team, cause you're trying to become a professional soccer player, right? Like that's a lot on your plate all at once. And actually that reminds me, when I was researching you for the interview, I found a quote that I really loved. And the quote is, I've never read a quote on air, so this is awesome. It was, I had a lot of ups and downs throughout my years at Mac, and it showed me things don't need to be linear. Progression in both sports and life don't need to be linear. It's something I think we all need to give an understanding to. Like, that's just what we're talking about. That's a huge quote. I love that. Like, how do you feel? Well, talk to me a little bit about that, because we've just been kind of discussing that. Like, you don't just go in a straight line. Football life isn't just a straight line. You're going to have setbacks and stuff like that, and you're going to have high points. How have you been able to handle both of those so far?
It's been tough, I can't lie. I mean, I've been my career has been like ever since I was a kid and stuff. I would say since I was like 11, 12, 13. I've been on like multiple teams and stuff, but for the most part, I was kind of always an overlooked player. I grew up like, it's interesting now. I mean, you can look at my height and weight and stuff. Like I'm like 6'1", 175 pounds. Growing up, I didn't grow until I was like 16. So I was like one of the smallest kids on my team every year until I was like 15, 14, 15.
Right.
So I was always overlooked because of my size and like physical attributes and stuff like that. But also like I'm kind of a quiet kid here and there, like especially in like big team settings and stuff. I was never someone who's like big personality in a team or anything like that. And growing up, a lot of coaches had to cater to the bigger personalities or the bigger parents' personalities. And
of course, and right? Everybody's advocating for themselves. Right.
And so I often got overlooked and things. So my career was kind of ups and downs. I'd get a chance here and I would have to play really well in the game. And then I'd get a string of a couple games and then they would go back to the other guy. And so for me, it was kind of just like, I was kind of used to it. And I remember going into Mac too. I was like the coach, it seemed like the coaches really believed in me and they were like, you're going to make an impact from the start. And then like my first 2 years were kind of a roller coaster ride with lots of downs, especially my second injuries and not a ton of playing time and stuff. I remember like feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not that good or whatever. And this and that. And I remember kind of just pushing through and like, you in the back of the mind, you kind of have to remind yourself. And I've told this to like, I try to tell this to a lot of kids. Like I remember I told a lot of people when I was still on the Mac team, my kind of journey, because I didn't have a very glorious
right
Mac. And I try and tell everyone on the team, like all the young kids who come in, and there's always a sense of entitlement with a lot of young kids. And I get it. Like you go from, it's tough to go from being a big fish in a small pond when you're younger to going to university and kind of just being a smaller fish in a big pond just because of the age differences and the level difference. And for me, I was always okay with this. And it was the same thing at the end of when I got drafted going. I remember having a conversation with my coach at Mac right before I left for preseason saying, they're going to look at your character a lot. They're going to need to go and fit, because the truth is it's not going to be more your ability. That's the reason they picked you. They know that you're good enough. It's how you're going to be as a person and around there. And a lot of players can't adjust to going from being the guy to being just some guy.
Right.
And I him saying to me, like, I want you to try and do your best to do that. And he'd only been my coach at Mac for a year, really. So he didn't know me through all the other stuff my whole life. And I remember saying to him, like, honestly, I'm excited for it because my whole life I've just been a guy instead of the guy. And this last year I've kind of been the guy. It's felt weird, you know, at Hamilton and at Mac. Like it's not something that I've been used to. So it was kind of, I was kind of comfortable to kind of go back into the background and do my thing from the background and stuff. And so for me, I would say that you kind of just to remind yourself why you're there. I think to keep with the highs and lows and like remind yourself that you're there for the love of the game. You're there for the love of yourself a lot of the time too. And try and believe in yourself and know that, you know, things are going to go up, things are going to go down, but if you can stay in the middle as best as possible, you'll be able to work through things. And that's kind of what I've tried to do. I mean, it's easier said than
right. Right. And it's amazing because thinking of that too, like that was a really great explanation. I love these conversations because you get to find out like the more honest nitty gritty stuff. And,
yeah.
And one of the things is obviously they saw you for the stats, the play on the field, all that kind of stuff, but there was going to be more to it than that. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, your time at Mac, like, especially that final season, you're scoring like, I don't know, 6 goals in 10 games. You got 2 more in the playoffs. But then the League One Ontario stuff, Massimo Farrin is playing and looking really good, playing for Halifax, right? He had 23 goals. Yeah,
good friend of mine. Very, very good player.
Right? Amazing. He had 23 goals in that last season with League One Ontario. He was tied with you. So, like, what does that feel like knowing that, you know, you're seeing guys making in the league right now, there's got to be a chance for you coming somewhere down the line, right? There has to be.
I would hope so. I mean, yeah, I look at that and, Massimo played a few less games, but I remember, the thing too is like, as much as like everyone's kind of undervalued me or like kind of overlooked me, I kind of overlook myself a lot of the time. I remember going into that season for League One that summer and knowing a lot of the big names in the league and going, oh, that guy's such a great player. That guy's such a great player. And I picked Hamilton because, obviously, I went to Mac and I just wanted to play. I remember like looking into the things and like there were other teams that I could have gone to that were teams that were more going to be close to the playoff teams and stuff. And I knew I could be a part of those teams, but I wanted a bigger role. Like I remember thinking like, oh, I need to make sure I'm ready and sharp for Mac in the fall. So I want to play a bunch of games. And I remember going into the season, like if I get a goal every 2 games as a striker, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think I started somewhere like that in the first like 4 or 5 games or something. I was about at that. And then I kind of just adjusted to the level and I kind of realized like, oh, like I can do more than that. And I got kind of comfortable. I got a little bit more confidence at the level. And I was like, you know what? I can do a little bit more than that. And I just started kind of rising from there. And I don't think I even looked at like the standings or the stat standings for like the first, like 8-10 weeks of the season. And then until people were like, you know, you're in first place. And I was like, what do you mean?
Right. You're
and
just
like, I mean, like, what do you mean? I remember being like, that's funny or whatever. And I remember looking at it, I was like right near the top, like you're second. And I was like, oh, really? And I heard a lot about guys like Massimo and I remember talking to him like during the game and before the game, after the game when we played against them, we ended up playing them a couple times because of rain delays and stuff. But there were other guys in the league that like I you know, that were guys who had been in the CPL, guys who'd been in the USL, guys who'd been here and there, and a lot of bigger names than me. And it was really cool to like see those guys and kind of earn their respect from everywhere around the league with that. But yeah, it was a wild ride. And Massimo was a fantastic player. And I say this all the time. I mean, two of us neck and neck he's a fantastic player. And look at the team he had, like some of the places where those guys have played and where they're playing now. And the coach, obviously he had Patrice, who Patrice is fantastic. He's a good guy and everything. And he was really friendly to me. But like, look at the supporting cast.
Look what he had to work with. Right.
I don't want to hate on Hamilton, but like, we just won at the same level. Vaughn went undefeated, won the league. We finished, I think, 8th or 9th. And I think at the beginning of the season, like the power rankings and stuff had us bottom 5.
So you got to lift that team up, right? Like, and be a part of growing something. But that's like so cool. Like something I wouldn't have thought of, but it makes so much sense now. You guys are playing, like there's guys like Cadell, who was like a star for us in our first year, is playing down in that league. You know, Emery Welshman was playing in that league. Like there's so many talented guys that have shown that they can handle CPL play and they're playing down there and you're proving it to yourself that, hey, I belong here before you're getting your chance. Like I can do this. And it's funny. You're like, you had to kind of convince yourself that you were, you know, absolutely able to do this stuff, right? That's wild to me. Well, thanks. I really like getting into that a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit more too about the draft. Like, so once you realize that you're going to go to Forge, I remember I talked to you when I first got credentialed, and I got to get to go behind scenes as like a mad fan. I got to go behind him and watch practices and stuff. And I got to have a little chat with you on the sidelines after one of the practices. And like, you looked like you were feeling a part of the team. You were there, but you didn't take anything for granted. Even when you heard you got drafted, you were like, that doesn't mean anything just yet. Like, I got to get there and do this stuff. So what was it like? Because I think like for me, I'd be like, I'm drafted to professional soccer. This is amazing. But you were like keeping that even keel. So tell me a little bit about what that meant, getting the draft, and then what it meant getting to the team itself.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot, like, I've heard about the draft and stuff over the years and everything. And I remember, like, I talk about, like, not being sure about things. And I remember my first and second year, like, I knew of the draft, but I just never even thought about it. And then I think my third season of the four I played, we had a guy on a team, Mohamed Al-Shaqman, who's a very good friend of mine. He was a Sigma player who was a Forge developmental player a couple of years ago, and he's a fantastic player. And I was talking to him when he was on a team that year, and he was like, what are your plans for the future? And I was like, no, I'll finish my degree and get a job. And he was like, what about the next level? And I was like, what do you mean the next level? And he's like, you can go there. And I'm like, it's nice that you're a good teammate. You're trying to like confidence your teammate, but like, you don't need to lie to me. Like, I know that that's not going to happen. Like, don't worry about it. And he was like, no, I'm serious. And I was like, all right, man, appreciate it. But like, don't worry. I didn't believe either and stuff. And then like, that was a year later, I got drafted. Like, it was like, that was kind of how it was. That last year, I trained a lot harder with a lot more higher named players and some indoor pickup and stuff with some of the guys that I played with were like, you know, Ryan Raposo was there. Some other like CPL guys were there.
That's too. Hamilton royalty right there.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like lots of Hamilton guys just training together and everything. And, you know, kind of like made me go, oh, I remember going to those at the start and being like, all right, let me just not make mistakes. And then by the end of it, I was scoring goals and stuff. And that, and I was like, oh, like, this is kind of a crazy thing. And then I had the season, the league one, and then I had the season in the fall. But I remember because of that attitude that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't expect any of this. Nothing was like, I didn't like, nothing was guaranteed. Nothing I felt like, oh yeah, that of course that's going to happen. So when I got drafted, I entered the draft and I was like, we'll see what happens.
Right.
And getting picked was like an honor. It was really, really cool. I didn't even know it was happening. Like, a lot of the guys before the draft had been told that they were going to get picked, so they had some sort of indication. I didn't have anything, so like I remember this is a funny story because I had heard that that was the case that people usually found out before. So I was like, okay, like I wanted to plan something. I didn't not to know necessarily where I went, or I wouldn't tell people if I did know. But like my parents and my grandfathers and like some family and friends around watched the draft.
Right.
I never heard anything back. So then I remember going, all right, whatever. So I remember it was like a Thursday afternoon draft.
Yeah.
And I watched it in my room at my student house at Mac with like three of my roommates. So we were like, one of them was my, I think it was like, there was four of us, me, one of my teammates, and then two of my other roommates were all four of us just kind of were like, all right, let's put on the TV. Let's see who gets picked instead of me. Like, whatever.
Right.
We were watching and we're like, oh, that guy went. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Watching this and that. And then we're like, and then the Forge go off. I'm like, well, if there's any chance, it's probably this. But like, it's not.
But still, I would have known. Or
someone and then my name got said, and I was kind of like, and then we kind of lost our minds. We were super excited. Like, we were very, very excited. But, you know, we kind of knew that, like, the draft just kind of gets you an invite to camp. And historically speaking with Forge, it doesn't give you a lot of hope. So I remember saying, like, it's great to be here. All this is a bonus on top of what I really wanted out of soccer. I wanted that championship. And I want everything more and more now. But I remember, like, it's not like I'm in a position where, like, I feel like this had to happen. I deserve this, or not that I didn't deserve it, but like, it wasn't my right. You know what I mean?
Right. It wasn't owed to you, kind of thing.
It was not owed to me at all. And so I kind of felt that way. And I was just like, I'm just going to put my head down and work and see what I can do here and not take anything for granted, but also not assume anything. And so I went into preseason going, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm going to make the most of whatever time I have here and try and learn as much as I can and compare myself to the level and see what I can do. And I ended up staying obviously all season. So that was pretty cool. And it was a nice compliment to be able to be there all year. But I remember talking to you at that point, and I was just kind of like, yeah, like it's great to be here and stuff, but I'm not gonna say more or less based on what's happening, because I can only talk on what's happened and what's going on right now. I can't really like assume too much and stuff. So
right on. Yeah, no, and you had to kind of just go with it, right? Like, just it was kind of like you said, kind of all gravy. So you just got to soak it up and take as much out of it as you can. I'm kind of excited too, because like you were saying, it kind of bigged you up a little bit when like you didn't really necessarily think that you were going this level or weren't taking anything for granted, but people were around you were saying like, yeah, obviously, like you can do this or something. Well, I kind of got a little feeling of that too when I was getting ready to interview you and you told me, you know, you and your mom read my article. I'm like, I'm going to be interviewing my legit fan. This is amazing. And I know a little bit of is when I heard it, I was like, it's, you know, a guy being nice because he's going to come on your show. But the fact that somebody reads your stuff and actually knows who you are before you get to talk to them, I think that's a big deal. So what do you like, or what do you think is important, like with the new soccer landscape that's growing in Canada? What are the kind of things that you want to see written about and what kind of stories do you want to see told in this new landscape?
It's a tough question.
Yeah, I'm here with the big questions.
There's a lot to like. I think there's a lot of things going on that kind of get kept behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would like to see. I would like to see the right people get the right recognition. I think that there are a lot of people who are big names and get a lot of the press because they're big names. And there's a lot of people who are kind of more unsung heroes in teams that don't get a lot of the press, even though they deserve it because of, you know, the fact that they're not this bigger name or whatever. And right. I think that I would like to see some more of the people who were underappreciated get more appreciation and more recognition. I think that that's something that I see a lot. And I mean, being at Forge all last year, there were guys on that team. I mean, everybody knows the guys that they talk about all the time here.
Yeah,
and there.
Of course.
There's guys that don't get talked about nearly as much that I think deserve a lot more praise and recognition. And I would like to see, you know, more coverage and more appreciation of the guys that deserve it but don't always get it. I think that that's one thing. And I would like to see a lot more. I would like to see, like, more Canadians coming through the ranks. I think that there's a lot of there's a lot of talent in Canada. There's a lot of players, you know, who deserve a spot in this league. And I know there's only so many spots with only eight teams and stuff,
right.
But there's so many good players in this country that deserve a spot to play. I would rather see Canadians come through who deserve a spot than players coming from overseas who have had their shots in their own country and this and that. And that's not me to say I don't like international players. I love international players.
Yeah,
and stuff,
of course.
I think that,
it's finding that balance, though, right?
I would like to see the league give more chance to Canadians and also try and push these Canadians on more. Some teams are better than others, but
yeah.
I think guys in the league that I think deserve to be playing higher levels and stuff, that they just need the right kind of marketing and stuff like that.
And it's interesting you say that, because I think that's a really good point about some of the stuff that's going on with the league. Like, obviously, you get when you're a fresh league that you want to put those marquee names up there because people are going to have some name recognition and say, hey, I know that guy, so maybe I'll tune into this league. But it's also a huge opportunity to bring up guys that nobody heard of. And all of a sudden, like, we've created the stars. Like, our league has made this guy something huge, right? I think that's a really valid point. So I'm excited to see the young guys. And it's interesting too, just recently, I know Ottawa's done a really good job with this too. And now York is doing it too, bringing back some bigger Canadian names. Vancouver, team I'm big too, bringing bigger names back that are Canadian players that didn't have this league, didn't have the shot to do it when they started out, and now here they're coming back. I think that speaks volumes to like how much of an appetite there is for Canadian soccer fans to see some Canadian players,
and just Canadians in general to be able to play and stay like in Canada. I think that's obviously something that people really love and dream about, and you know, I think that it's good, and it gives kids a lot more hope to have something to strive for while growing up. I remember most of the time while I was growing up, there was not a lot of hope unless you had a foreign passport to get somewhere else. But like,
right.
I think that there's a lot to be kind of said and And in terms of having hope's a beautiful thing, especially for kids. And I think having this league gives a lot of hope and gives something to like work towards, you know, that you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel per se for some of these kids. And I think that is really important for the youth to have something to kind of look up to.
Yeah. And I mean, I see it from the supporter section, just seeing like a lot of young kids, like even like the soccer mascots that come and play the halftime games and stuff like that, for them to like be knowing that they're playing in leagues that some of these players have played in, you know, that where they started out, and then looking on the pitch and seeing them doing it for a living, like there's nothing that can touch that. No matter how many games you watch, you know, European championship games or whatever, international World Cups and stuff that you see on TV, it's not the same as being there and being able to like tangibly touch your heroes and know that one day that could be you, right?
Exactly. And I think that the last thing I would say is I would like to cover more people's personal like stories. I mean, there's a lot of, I've always been someone who likes, like I think personality is huge. And I think that like getting to know people is fantastic. And I think that, you know, I like, that's another thing too, is like when you ask questions and when you interview people and stuff, you ask these more like personal questions and things like that. And I think that as a sports fan myself who watches like lots of different sports and grew up watching everything, I always seem to get a bit of an affinity with the, like the person and the player. If you can kind of put both together, it's really good. And I think that Canadians telling their own story is huge too, because I think that for me, for example, like I think that my story of how I got to where I got, the perception or the idea of what, how things went for me, is not exactly how it went for the most part. Maybe people right. thought it was glorious and I was always beloved and through and through soccer, through youth soccer, through university soccer and everything, and it just wasn't that way for me, and I kind of had to push through all the hardships and stuff. And I think that there's a lot of players like me who had a very difficult run to get there, and I think that a lot of the media try and glorify that,
yeah,
but they don't glorify all the hardships, they just glorify that they went through this pathway. And I think that
right.
Knowing that the pathway isn't exactly the most effective is fine. Like, I mean, there's exceptions to it. And I think that oftentimes the exceptions are the ones who can do best. And I think that getting more personal understanding of stories and stuff would give fans a more closer connection with players, but also players with other players and young kids looking up to other players to know that, you know, they, even if things aren't going the way the book or the website or whatever says it should be going for me,
right.
it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. So I think that that would be good to like get to know people on a personal level too.
That, you know what? That's fantastic. I was, again, from doing these interviews, I've been fortunate enough to see people who came from all different pathways, and talking to Tesho Epkindeli, and he was saying like, he took a road less traveled despite people saying, no, you got to go to NCAA League One and do this. He just went a different way. And you're telling me that, again, Canada's pathway is all over kind of the map, but we only know the like famous one, you know, the one, the pipeline yeah. that's supposed to be here. So to see people being able to make it here, it gives a lot of kids hope to like be like, you know what, it doesn't have to be that way. And mm-hmm. and we can also improve it by growing the different avenues to get us to the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for this interview. It's been fantastic. And one of the things that I think is pretty funny and getting to know people and stuff like that in the small worlds and stuff is that I got to know you as a soccer player first, getting to see you, you know, training on the pitch and hearing about you. And when they first announced you in the draft, you were kind enough to come out to one of our supporters' nights. And I have a signed autograph, so I have a vested interest in you, you know, getting higher levels, of course. But it was amazing to see that kind of stuff, but also to know that there's weird connections. Like I went to high school with Chris Marcoux, your coach. And yeah. so I reached out to him immediately, like, what can you tell me about Miles? And he was like glowing and talking about you. And then I started a new job as a flight attendant. And one of the closest people that I work with is a guy who went to high school with you. I mean, who went to university with you in Andreas.
Yeah, we had some group projects together. He's a lovely, lovely guy.
Lovely, lovely dude. And he just could not speak.
Stuff. Yeah.
And it was just lovely. Like he was so excited to know that you were doing well. And it was just, it was great. So he's going to be tuning into this, I'm sure, to hear about you. Chris will too. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I'm sure I'm going to have you on again. One last question, though. Is there interest? Are you interested? Are you looking for other roles in CPL? Is there a chance that you're coming back to Forge? Is there a chance that you're going on with someone else? What can you tell me in the briefest little 30 seconds we have left?
What I can tell you right now is, as of now, I don't have a contract with Forge or anything. And they're looking in another direction.
Okay.
And in terms of the rest of the league, there's been some interest, but nothing concrete. And for now, my plan is I got an offer to go play first division in New Zealand. So I'm going over to New Zealand this week, and I'm going to go start playing first division over there. And hopefully that leads me somewhere else. And Alan Koch, the old Edmonton coach, is bringing me over, and he's a lovely guy, and I'm excited to get to work and build something that can get me somewhere else, hopefully, and appreciate the time there. So
amazing. I think that's my first ever time breaking a story. So again, I owe you so much.
I haven't told many people at all. So
all right. Well, hey, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm going to have you on the show again, I'm sure. And we look forward to seeing what you're doing in New Zealand.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, man. Talk again soon.
It sounds good.
So there you have it, folks. A broken scoop. Miles is headed to New Zealand. I'm sure he's going to be super successful there, and I look forward to seeing what his career has to unfold for him. And when I do these interviews, I have to let you know that the players are always so gracious, and they usually spend some time afterwards having a little chat with me, or even beforehand, stuff that doesn't make the cutting room floor. And it's always great to hear from players about what they're excited about. And Miles has a lot of things, like in his journey, the ups and the downs, but he never comes off as just completely like frustrated or upset about what things are. It's always like, this is gravy for me. You know, I never really knew how far I could go. So each the next step is to be cherished. And it really comes through when you chat with him. Really excited to see what he has coming up next. And I'm really excited for things to start unfolding in the way that he kind of envisions it for young up and coming Canadian soccer players and the fans, media that grow around them as well. And I have to say, to everyone out there, if you're interested in soccer and in getting to know people on like a personal level a little bit better, get yourself a podcast. If for no other reason, you get to talk to people and learn about things that you would never have thought of. Like, especially in the soccer world, of course. But also just personal things, like what engages them, what drives them. And it's really, really fascinating to get to know this kind of stuff. And I hope I bring just a glimmer of that, at least, to all you guys out there listening. Because I think this is a really special opportunity, especially in the growth and birth of our young league, to learn so much about the players, the personalities, the mindset to make it all tick. Anyway, thanks again, Earthlings. Talk to you next time on the Hammer of Sparks podcast.